Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to be turning with me to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. Have you ever noticed how much community work is done by volunteers? When these natural disasters happen across the country, a lot of the times you'll see volunteers joining up by the hundreds, sometimes even thousands, to go and help that particular community. I remember a few years ago now when Katrina went through New Orleans. You had volunteers from all over the country that volunteered to help those people that were fleeing from that area, and even volunteered to go down into that area to help with water and other community projects down there. When the tornadoes went through Joplin, Missouri, you had people turn out by the hundreds to help that particular community. A lot of the community work that gets done in any community is done by volunteers. Have you ever noticed that much of the work in our church family is done by volunteers? People that choose to help out, that volunteer their time and their efforts and sometimes even their money to do certain works within this area and within this congregation. Many times it's done by volunteers. Now, just as community organizations and churches actively seek volunteers, God recruits volunteers as well, willing to serve Him at His request. And in Judges chapter 3, we learn here of three judges, three leaders who were God's volunteers, and each one was different. I want us to notice those three judges as we examine Judges chapter 3 this evening. Let's notice number one, Othniel. In Judges chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, we read of Othniel. We might refer to Othniel as the reusable judge. If we go back to Judges chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, we read there of Othniel. Caleb had made a proclamation in Judges chapter 1. Verses 9 through 15, we there read, "And afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron." Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. "And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, 'He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife.' And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife." Go on and read a couple more verses there, and we see how Othniel, what he was given in return. But here Othniel rose up into battle against the Canaanites at this particular time. And now in Judges chapter 3, he's called to rise up again and fight on behalf of the people. So we may look at Othniel as the reusable judge. Let's look and see verses 8 through 11 of chapter 3 and see what it is that Othniel does. "Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of," you can read that name, "king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served him 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord raised up a deliverer, the children of Israel who delivered them, unto even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war, and the Lord delivered him, the king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against the king of Mesopotamia. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." He was used again by God. Friends, how many times do people hit a certain age and think that their work is done for the Lord? How many times do folks hit a certain age and often retire without the Lord ever telling them to retire? Othniel was a younger brother of Caleb. Caleb, at 40 years old, had gone into the land of Canaan. He had scattered it out with other spies, and only he and Joshua stood for what was right. You remember? And finally, at 80 years old, he enters into the land of Canaan. He says to Joshua, he says, "You give me this mountain." At 80 years old, Caleb was still fighting. And he continued to do so. Here is Othniel. He's already been used once by God, and now he's being used once more. Folks, how many of us are reusable? Maybe we taught a Bible class for 15 or 20 years in our younger days, and now we've just decided to take our leisure. What if the need arises again? Teach a Bible class, would you do it? Would you stand and volunteer your time and your energy, your efforts, as Othniel did, even though he had already fought for the people beforehand? Would you do it again? Would you be like Othniel and be reusable in that sense? To have been used in the past, but keep on volunteering until you're no longer able? Othniel had been used by the Lord earlier, but he was used again, as mentioned here. How many of us are reusable? Friends, how many of us have simply retired and refused to be used once more by the Lord? Maybe we need to examine ourselves again. Be sure that we're ready to volunteer when the Lord calls upon us. Othniel, the reusable judge. What about Ehud? We read of Ehud beginning in verse 12, and really we read of him all the way through verse 30. If we look at Ehud and we were to read that particular passage, what we learn there is that Ehud was left-handed. And that's significant here because anybody that's going to go before the king, no doubt he's going to be searched for weapons, right? And as a right-handed man, as most people were, they're going to check the left side of the body. Simply because it's easier to reach across with your right hand. And so Ehud, being left-handed, takes his knife, or does something to his knife, on the inside part of his right thigh. And because they're used to people being right-handed, guess what they forget to check? The inside part of his right thigh. And so as he delivers this present unto Ehud, or unto Eglon rather, Ehud simply says to Eglon, I have a secret to tell you. I have a secret message. I have a secret mission. And so Eglon, willing to hear a secret, wanting to know what this was all about, he says, everybody out of the room. Once everybody's out of the room, he says, Ehud, come closer. Ehud simply says, my message is from the Lord. And he takes out his knife and he plunges it into the belly of Eglon. Now, if you're familiar with this particular account, you know that Eglon was a very fat man. So much so that when Ehud thrust that knife into him, that the hilt went in after it and he lost his knife. It says that the fat overtook it and the dirt came out. That's what the Scripture says. And he goes and he locks the door and he goes and leads the people finally up to war against Moab. And you read verse 30, so Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. For 80 years the land had rest. But Ehud, when we look at Ehud, we see him as a reflective judge. Othniel was a reusable judge. Ehud was a reflective judge. He served the Lord, and when we look at this plan of his, it took some thought, didn't it? Let's look a little bit at what it was that Ehud did. Let's start with, let's begin with verse 15. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present, but he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. Are you seeing the plan here that Ehud had? It was his plan all along. He had to have done some thinking on this, didn't he? Friends, serving the Lord is often going to take thought. We're going to have to plan things out. That's part of the purpose of our plan of work that we've been putting out each year. To help give us direction, the way that we want to go. It helps us to set goals and accomplish certain things. Ehud had a plan. All of that plan was to serve the Lord. And friends, often there needs to be that God-directed plan in order to get a job done. You see, Ehud had thought through a plan that used his job of delivering money to the king, his being left-handed, his locking some doors and calling together Israel to fight. He had developed this plan, no doubt. He had some help from God as God had raised him up to do so. But here he was doing his regular job, and this, I don't know how long this plan took to formulate. We're not told. But I just wonder how many times he had gone in before the king to deliver that money, deliver these presents. After all, Israel was subservient to Moab, right? I just wonder how many times he had gone in before the king, how many times he had seen the king, maybe even gone in enough to gain their trust. Maybe he wasn't even searched, even though he carried that knife on his right thigh. But in any case, he had this plan, that God-directed plan, that God-centered plan. And it was successful, friends, because God was in it. And it was a well-thought-out plan. How many times do we read of folks in God's Word that try to make plans and leave God out of them? How successful are those plans? How many times did Israel make plans and leave God out of it? Time and time again in the book of Judges. Didn't Ananias and Sapphira make a plan? They left God out, didn't they? Decided to lie to God. Read of countless people within the pages of God's Word making a plan but leaving God out. And friends, it never ends well. Jesus told a parable of a rich man that had planted his crops. When it came time to harvest, he was going to have too much for the barns that he had. So he said to himself, I'll tear down these barns, I'll build bigger, and then I'll just make merry the rest of my life. I'll go to my retirement. What was the Lord's response? Called him a fool, didn't he? Thou fool, tonight your life will be required of you. Friends, there are times when we need to stop and reflect upon certain things. There are times when we need to stop and reflect upon these things and be sure that we have God in our plan. Serving the Lord often is going to take thought. Then the last verse of Judges chapter 3, we read of a man by the name of Shamgar. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Now, while Othniel was the reusable judge, Ehud was the reflective judge, Shamgar we might call the resourceful judge. Most oftentimes when folks would think of an ox goad, I seriously doubt that most people thought of that as a deadly weapon. And what we're talking about when we talk about an ox goad, it'd be something like a staff, but on the end of the staff you'd have something like a round ball, about the size of a softball, on the top of the staff. And on one side of this staff would be almost like a thorn protruding from it, probably an inch or two, sharpened. And so in order to get the oxen moving sometimes, what they would do was they'd reach out and they'd prick the side of that ox. Get his attention, get him moving. Hence the word ox goat. And here we read of Shamgar. We only read of him twice in the Bible, but he teaches us an important lesson. He teaches us that we should use what we have in order to volunteer for God's service. You know, some of us have been blessed with more means than others, haven't we? But friends, just because we may not have as much as someone else doesn't mean that I can't serve the Lord. I am to use what I have. It may be that I have nothing really to my name, but I know how to use my hands. There's something at the building where the church meets needs to be fixed, and so I'm able to do that. Or I'm able to go to other members of the Lord's church houses and help them with certain projects that maybe are too expensive for maybe them to call someone to have them come do. I can help out with that. I have those abilities. You see, Shamgar used his everyday tool to go to war for the people of Israel. He used an ox goat. Now what do you think those Philistines must have thought? Here's this ox herder, this man that drives oxen, that keeps oxen. Here he is coming out to fight against us. What type of armor did the Philistines have? They had the best. You want to read the type of armor the Philistines have? You go and read about the armor that Goliath wore. They had the best type of armor. And here is a farmer, more or less, going out to fight these heavily equipped Philistines with nothing but an ox goat. I can imagine their laughter. Until Shamgar tore into him. He was resourceful. Friends, what do you have at your disposal in service for the Lord? Maybe you have a way with words. It may be that you're able to reach someone that nobody else can simply because you know how to phrase certain things in certain ways so that they'll accept those things. As I said, maybe you have an ability to work with your hands. Maybe you have the ability to lead singing, to teach a Bible class. Whatever the case may be, friends, we are to use what we can in order to serve God. God expects us. He expects it of us to use what we have in order to serve God. You remember the woman that broke the bottle of spikenard and anointed Jesus with it. And Judas' response was, we could have sold it for this much and given it to the poor. But the response of Jesus was simply, she hath done what she could. Friends, that's what God expects of us. For us to do what we can. For us to do what we can. And friends, we need to realize that anything short of what we're able to do, we're going to be held accountable for. We ought to do what we can in service to the Lord. Friends, simply put, God expects volunteers to serve Him. He needs them. Would you be a volunteer for God? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. In Judges chapter 3, we read of three men that volunteered their time and their service unto God. Othniel was at this point in time was most likely up in years a little bit. He'd already been used once by God, but he volunteered himself again to serve the Lord. Ehud reflected in such a way that he was able to devise a plan in order to free the people from the oppression of Moab. And Shamgar used what was at his disposal in order to serve God. Friend, would you be a volunteer for God this evening? Would you give your life as a living sacrifice to the Lord? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Friend, are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why not tonight? Why not obey His Word? Why not trust Him enough to give your life unto Him, to volunteer yourself for the service of God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Would you repent of your sin? Would you be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of that sin? And then would you live faithfully, giving your life ever to God, so that you might receive a crown of life? Friend, are you here tonight having done those things? Have you fallen away? Have you gone in to live a sinful life one more? Friend, would you come back? Dedicate yourself once more to the Lord. Be used again by the Lord as Othniel was. Would you come home? Be His again. Would you be a volunteer for the Lord? Won't you come when we stand and while we sing?